But I go now to Amber Parr. Amber, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Well, there you are.
Hi.
We've had challenges this whole evening, but you know what? This team has such a wonderful, upbeat attitude that everything's worked out in the end. So wonderful to speak with you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I feel really honored to finally be able to be talking and chatting with you this lovely, fine, late, early morning.
So Amber, I was telling people earlier on that you are born into music. It's in your genes, whether you like it or not. Your mother, of course, being Heather Mack, and your father, Tim Parr. Together they made up Elementra. And there they were in Ireland, and you were born.
Yes, in the mountains of Slemaine Mountains in County Wicklow. Yes, I was conceived, and then we moved back to South Africa with me ma. And then I pretty much would see my mom dancing at Jazz Art Theatre and playing her shows. And yeah, it's pretty much, that was what I saw growing up.
And of course, growing up in a musical family, I mean, the Elemental was of its time, but both of your parents independently continued their musical career. And your stepfather is also musical. It seems like you couldn't avoid being in a musical environment.
No. If anything, I ended up getting more involved. My dad would invite me on stage impromptu and improvise with him. And I think it was in year seven he gave me a song because he saw me just playing my fingers on the piano.
Mm.
And he said, take this song and do what you want with it. And then I ended up writing a song and editing a song that he had started and playing it on piano and realizing, gosh, okay, I can take this somewhere else and actually write my own stuff. And then, yes, with my mom, she obviously would be playing music and I'd hear her. And sometimes I wouldn't be able to sleep as a little girl. And I'd ask her and either my dad or Mark, my stepdad, to perform some songs, and I'd fall asleep listening to them playing and rehearsing, and then I'd start joining them as I grew a lot older.
It's almost like it's as you sleep, you've had the music. But it must have been a very heady moment when you realized that you could make something of your own, which must be quite important, having two musical parents and all this other musical influence around you. Have you followed a similar style, or would you say yours is particularly unique to you?
I'll be very honest, and that's one thing I will stick to, as like I'd rather be incredibly straight to the point, is I am, if anything, I have influence, but I've always been very stubborn. Both my parents will agree, and quite tenacious. And if anything, I'll say, maybe do this, maybe do that. And I'll just go, no, I don't want to play a key. I don't want to play it that way or learn it that way.
Mm.
And I'll just go off and spend like 2 hours in my room every single day playing and riffing on the guitar or on the piano. And then I would like listen to them. And there are elements where you can hear my mom and you can hear my daddy. A lot of people remark, sometimes I rock like my dad when I play guitar. And then some people say that my voice sounds very strong like my mother. And I love that. And yes, I have a best of both worlds, I like to think. And I'm so, so grateful.
Now, tell us about this Indonesian movie influence. I've been to Indonesia, and that gamelan music is quite unique. Tell us how you got to Indonesia.
Well, I never got into UCT, and one of my old high school drama teachers by the name Zef Atia said, why don't you study teaching? So I just started teaching, and then my mom came across this email from the Indonesian embassy in Cape Town, Kenilworth based, for the Dharma Siswa scholarship to go study in Indonesia, and I had the opportunity to choose what university I'd like to go to, and then what subjects either dance, theatre, warung, which is traditional Indonesian puppetry, or karawitan, traditional gamelan music. And so I chose a school named ISI, Institute of Art in Yogyakarta, and I went off, still studying my teachers, but I went off and I studied traditional gamelan, learned vocal, indigenous Indonesian songs, traditional. So yes, and then it swept me away. And then I came back. I didn't stay the whole year.
Before you carry on, in Yogyakarta, there's not a lot of English spoken, and often when they're speaking English, it's quite difficult to understand. How did you manage studying and teaching?
There was an English translator.
Okay.
There was an English translator.
And, of course, music transcends language, doesn't it?
Yes, and also they speak in tonic salsa. They don't use musical notes, traditional musical notes.
Okay.
Everything is in sound and phonics. So there's a real, it's just based on sound.
Okay. All right, so you're saying you didn't finish the year, so you actually intended to spend a year there?
I intended to spend a year there, but I was missing home, and I was quite worried about my gran, who played a big role in my life too. And it was kind of beckoning me to come back. And in the 6 months of me coming home, she passed away. And she was a huge, you know, when we came back from, when my mom came back from Ireland, she went straight into working with corporate, even though she would still do her shows. And I would, you know, she would come home quite late. So I stayed a lot of my young childhood with my gran. And we became the best of friends.
And what was it like going back to Ireland? Because, I mean, you flip-flopped between South Africa and Ireland.
I did. So I went off to Ireland because I wanted to record an album. That was the mission. And to become independent.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah. As a young woman. And I wanted to be self-sufficient in my music and discover my music in my musical roots coming from Ireland, and that's what I did.
Okay, well, what we want to do now is, you've been talking about this music and your musical journey. We want to play some of your music. Malebongwe is the one who's chosen to play The Warrior.
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to this.
Gonna hide these tears from the world. just crumble up and die. No, I won't, even if I lose myself on this earth that I walk upon. 'Cause I know what I need, I know what makes me happy, but I don't listen to my own advice. My head and heart start to fight. I drive people crazy 'cause I'm sensible, but you gotta understand, I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home. You can hit me with your losses and bring all my nightmares to life. So with my will, I'll defeat all the losses you have made. Where my moon armored, that will frighten the monsters back to where they belong. I am a warrior and I can face my fears. I'm not gonna hide these tears from the world. I am a warrior.
Wow, that was lovely. That was Amblant, and that was a track, and the track's name was Warrior. Amber, that was wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much, Lindsay.
Quite sublime. So the flute, what other instruments were in that?
So that is the Irish flute by Dave Murphy, who... an amazing flautist who I met on my journeys in Ireland. And he inspired me when you travel on your own for the first time, sometimes doubt sets in and you just kind of like got to find different routes, different paths. And he came just in the nick of time, came to watch me play busking in the People's Park in Dunleary.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I've been to Ireland and I can just see you sitting there. There's something quite haunting about that, and it feels like that would be a very good place to play the song. Of course, the song carries. Tell us about your album. Tell us about that particular track, The Warrior. How did that come about?
Well, look, if you're an artist trying to find your way anywhere in this world, it's hard work, and it takes the tenacity, the tenacious attitude to grab it, go for it, and remain incredibly humble and true and honest and loyal and just real and true, and, get your heart broken and understand your place in the world and how you need to sometimes, it's not about just living for yourself, but living for others. It's a lot of complex things when you are trying to make your way in as an artist. Mm. At the same time, it's what drives you and inspires you to write, is living your life. Mm. And that's what it was like for me living in Ireland. It was just like a first, there was so many changes happening, working as a nursery teacher, after school teacher, making sure I was busking every Sunday at the People's Park. Then, after that, going off to the open mics on Mondays and on the Sunday evening and the Monday evening at the Gilberts right there. and just keep remaining incredibly dedicated and then open to anyone who just loved your music and to just play when they said, please keep playing, keep writing. And sometimes you wouldn't get the positive responses. You'd get people who are not interested in who you are. But you got to remain incredibly positive and believe in your authenticity as an artist.
So
that's the warrior behind it.
Okay. No, but I think it's important because, you know, it gives it just another dimension to get that. You spoke about going to Ireland and wanting to be independent. And I suppose that's quite important, having musical parents. At some point, you had to cut your own teeth. And with those influences, you know, there's a little... There's something haunting about that. I do know your mother. I went to school with her, and I was listening for her voice in yours. But I'm happy that it isn't there, and you've got your own voice, which is wonderful. Tell us about the album, though, because you came back to South Africa to do that.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. I thought you recorded in Joburg.
No.
Oh, okay,
no,
I've got that wrong.
Sorry. No, don't worry. So basically. So Dave Murphy said, okay, after watching me at the People's Park, went, okay, I want to take you to a very special place. It's called the Victor's Garden in Ireland. It's in Wicklow, so you've got to travel a little bit, like maybe half an hour, 45. So we ended up driving off. We get there, and there's all these really Indian, outrageous Indian like statues in this beautiful greenery. It's just stunning. You must go there. Anyone who goes to Ireland must go there. And then I met the man who made all these sculptures. His name was Victor, and he said, I won't, he just says, what? I said, I want to sing. I want to be an artist.
Mm.
He says, what are you doing in here? What are you doing in Ireland? You need to go to London. I was like, what? And then it just resonated with me, his comment.
Mm.
And then a month later, I went off to London. And 8 months after living in Ireland, I was living in London. And I decided to put up a regime and contact all the open mics. And I was like playing on it at every open mic. And then one really special person, I had no idea who he was at the time, but there was this gentleman in the audience and I was singing my song. He said, hello, I know your father. I was like, yes, who are you? I'm Glenn Kalis. And I was like, okay, I used to jam with your mom and dad during the elemental days or the early elemental days. And he was the bass player for one of the really well-known Afrikaans singers, Sonia Herold.
Yeah, that takes us back.
Another pilot, yeah, that takes us far back. And he told me his stories and everything. And he said, you know what, you've got something, Amber. What do you want from this? And I said, I would love to be touring my music and being able to run projects, working with children, and like being able to fund projects. Because that's what I do as well. I work with kids that inspire me. And he went, okay, so call me in January and let's make a plan. And from, it was 18th of January 2016, and it's been a year, and now I have an album.
What's the album called, Amber?
Warrior.
And so we, Malebongwe just went straight for gold.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, exactly. Having made the album, some would say that's the easy thing. In terms of marketing, these are the days of reality TV. Everyone wants to be on The Voice or some, you know, idol competition.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard to write your own music.
Everybody, do it. Go for it. And then I did a bit of research, and I even spoke with my, because I signed up, won't lie, I signed up to Britain's Got Talent.
Okay.
Edinburgh Festival. I've inquired, I've looked up and researched, but there's always a little, there's a glitch in the contract. There's some element of the contract that says that you still belong to the show, the company that owns the show, for a lot longer. So you can't really play your own stuff and original stuff.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
After,
you know,
the repercussions are not
They would own it then.
Testament to the authentic artist, basically. Yeah.
Well, I think that's what I'm getting from you, is that people who do that are people who needing to find their own voice. You've got your own voice, but now you're trying to showcase it.
Yeah.
So it's very different, because most, I don't know that many of those shows. I'm not a reality TV fan in that regard. But my sense is most people sometimes beautifully sing other people's songs. It's sometimes very difficult to reach original music, because people don't know it. It takes a while. The thing about that song is it catches you immediately, which, of course, is what you want from the first song in your album.
Yeah, and there's people, I just want to, there's this one person, Anna C.B. Lowe, who's just like one of those pioneers, who I think is a real tip. Like, do we see her playing a lot in South Africa? Only recently, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, have radio stations, for example, because radio stations are, you guys are profound. You are that like missing link between, you know, people who want to just keep hearing the good, authentic, real music.
Well, here's the problem, though, often, is that it becomes tricky to access that, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. But recently, if I'm not mistaken, 90% of radios have to play 90% of South African original music, if I'm not mistaken. Lately, a law.
Yeah, but it's the kind of music, you know, and it depends. I was chatting earlier with Tony Cox, who was paying tribute to and he was talking about when you play music of a certain kind, it's not the kind of mass market stuff, if you like. So often you don't get that kind of exposure. People, you mentioned rock before, people can often identify certain things. But other kinds of things, you've got to get famous first and then bring it back. I mean, think of something like Johnny Clegg, who's more famous in France than he is in South Africa.
Yep. And even, there's quite a few. Yeah, Alice Levy Lowe is famous in Berlin and Europe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, having done this album in the UK and having this connection with Ireland, are you trying to market it there, or do you feel that you're wanting to do this work here in South Africa?
Well, look, talking about your marketing and how I'm wanting to share this is that I'm really seeing myself in between. So you got your commercial stuff and you got your stuff that's really or very out there or unreachable. So you get the very reachable commercial and then the unreachable, which is just indigenous, original.
Mm.
And then you just need that link. Mm. And that's what I'm trying to, if anything, that's what I'm pioneering to create in through my music.
Well, I mean,
a South African artist, but also an international artist.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of the likes of Tony Cox and Steve Newman and Chris Tucker. Yeah. They used to do Barleycorns. I mean, that's how we knew them in the 70s. They week in, week out, you know.
Yep.
Very different.
That's what you have to do. You have to be playing all the time as well. Yeah. You can't be going, playing all the time, but also all the time online. Now everything's online.
Yeah.
You've got to be updating. I mean, I have these business conversations with my mother all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What's the procedure? Okay, we've got to put this up now. You cannot wait. Because everything is instantaneous now. Everything is online now.
How does that work, though? Because you've done the album. If you put it all online, then you've lost the rights to it. How does that work?
No, it's not. No, it's still. If anything, I'm in the process of making my website.
Okay.
So
you're going to sell it via your website?
Via my website.
Okay.
And personalize my website.
Okay.
So it's engaging as well. It will be a blog.
Okay.
And people can comment and communicate with me. A personal exchange, as well as people can see my music see my album, my artwork, because I'm also an artist by nature. And with that, my music. And 30 seconds, just a teaser. And if they like what they hear, they can order it online.
Yep, that's...
And yes, there is the opportunity of putting it on Spotify. I do have an idea, an approach, but I feel that speaking with my producer, if you just give yourself away so quickly, it's hard, much harder work on you as an artist.
Yeah,
to keep up to date, it's much harder. If you are consistent in giving little bits of information and engaging with your audience, communicating with your audience, wherever they are, online, offline, just meeting people, communicating, people love talking and talking about art and just exchanging their lives, if anything, and to be able to open that space for them. It's really important. Yep.
So, Amber, you haven't got your website up and running now.
No, not yet.
If somebody,
it's in the process.
If somebody on Cape Talk wants to get hold of your album, how would they do that in the interim?
You are welcome to, if they can send me their post address, and if anything, they can EFT it to me. That's kind of the process that I've been doing at the moment.
Okay, and then how do they get hold of you, via Facebook? Or
they can get hold of me via Facebook or via my contact number, which is 074-919-5159.
And just a reminder, Amber Parr's got another name. You've got an Irish name, which I don't know how to...
Yes.
Even being to County Wexler doesn't help me.
Well, the thing is, when I was born, both my parents decided on a second name, which is Leaden, which is a origin of children of Leah, but also is translated Gaelic for grey old lady.
Thinking ahead.
Yes, already, yeah. Yes, yeah. So, yes, so it's Amber Leaden. That's my stage name.
But if they type in Amber Parr, I'm sure that it'll find it. There are not that many Amber Parrs. And that's Parr with two R's.
Oh, no. If you go on all my, for Facebook, and my personal Facebook is Amber Leaden Parr. But when you want to find me on YouTube or Facebook or SoundCloud, it's Amber Leaden.
Okay. You mentioned that you knew Chris Tokalon.
Yes, I did.
Do you want to say something about...
My best thing. I would love to. I would absolutely love to say something, because I did have moments of real sadness and just kept phoning my mom. Mm. But he was just a phenomenal person. I just remember making the most amazing Nelson Mandela impersonations that made me laugh, having such a wonderful sense of humor. But when I was studying, when I went into high school at San City, which I know you also went to, and my mommy, and I ended up studying the saxophone, and I really struggled to connect with it. So Chris Tokalon said, sure, I'll give you some point. Well, my mom suggested I chat to Chris, so I phoned him and said, would you mind coming over and giving me some pointers, just connecting with the instrument? So he would come over and play on his alto. And yes, it was just one of those kind of relationships built. And also, before I went off to Indonesia to study, there was a fundraiser. He was always quick to support me in any way. Mm. He was just always present. And then on the 1st of September, he came to support me on stage, which was also phenomenal. And on my one song, which is on the album, Nice and Deep, Soft and Slowly. And I was also accompanied with Tim Paul, my dad, and Phil Muffet, who's an amazing virtuoso guitarist as well. So it was really a magical evening. And my parents filmed that, which is really epic. Mm. So yes, if anything, he was the most magical person I've ever met. He was a great pioneer of musicianship, sorry. Yeah, and I'd rather be really happy and celebrate his life.
And his music.
Because
he was incredibly versatile, you know.
Yes, he could. He could make, if anything, he clarified something great for me. It was that our greatest instrument is our body. If you can find out all the tones and the timbres, you can create any sound.
And he was known as the sound man. The sense, you know, the sadness for me, he often used music therapeutically, and the sadness is that his end, it's a pity that it didn't help him. But as Tony was saying, is possibly it was a question of this new diagnosis not being, the management not stabilizing. But what do you think he did that got you to connect with your saxophone?
When I was playing it, if anything, just to jam.
To have fun.
Just to have fun. And just play it as if it's like a nature. And that was really helpful. And I did really well for my first exam, that's for sure.
But music is much more than an exam. What you were feeling,
the truth, yes.
What you were feeling was a disconnect with the instrument. So, of all the instruments that you've learnt, which have emerged for you?
Wow, there are quite a few. There are flutes from Indonesia that I play, and the gendang, which is the traditional Indonesian drum. It's always my mother. I've always found a huge attraction to the piano. I love the piano. I can play and improvise very easily and learn songs by ear on the piano. I've been quite secretive. I was having a discussion with a musician last night because last night we were at the Festival of Trees in Hogsback. And I was just having a discussion about how much I love playing the piano with Lara Kirsten, who's a phenomenal, phenomenal pianist, pioneer in South Africa as well. And just how it's such a wonderful instrument to play. and the guitar is an instrument that I would say was a much later instrument I got really more engaged in and exploring. But I play a lot of instruments. I can't think of all of them at the top of my head, but I do use a lot of instruments when I'm working, especially with when I was doing the Grahamstown Festival with my mother, Heather Mack, doing the percussion. And yeah.
And then when someone produces your album, do they, how do you decide or have you written that up already and you bring the material and it's just shaped for the album?
The thing is, being a teacher, you always over-prepare. So over-prepared for every situation.
Okay.
And so I would come into studio with like idea and concept, and I would share it with my producer, and we have a great rapport.
Mm.
So he would really understand the direction I was going for each song. So I would say, this instrument, what does this sound like? And we would discuss the sound, what it sounds like. This goes with the song, yes, no. And then, we would decide together. It's never just like I would decide something and if I wanted it, it's my way. It was really a conjoined decision-making process. Mm. But I had the vision in my mind and in my heart and in my ears.
And in terms of the harmony, did you also lay that down? Is it you doing your own harmony?
Yes, so we would
like Annie Lennox doing your own harmonies.
They're all my own harmonies.
Okay.
We would do like Fishy Nice and Deep. We did probably 16 because there are four part harmonies on each
part.
And sometimes in songs, the timing changes subtly because that's the natural timing of any.
Yeah.
Every human or every musician has different timing and sometimes they get a little fast, a little slow, depending on the flow. And so we wouldn't just cut and paste, which some musicians may do out of convenience with the producer or the producer's convenience, whichever the relationship is. But I was like, let's just do it from scratch. Let's just go really organic. And so that was my approach. Bit by bit.
Well, lovely to chat with you finally. All things work out in the end. And I'm really enjoying your album. I'm glad that Malibongwe chose that to play. And I wish you well. I'm sure this is not going to be your last album.
No. While I was offline, I wrote two pieces.
Yeah.
I was like so paranoid that I couldn't get, couldn't have you get hold of me. But it's so wonderful to have, an honor to have been able to talk with you, Lindsay, and thank you for having me on Cape Talk.
All strength to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Amber Parr, and that was her album, Warrior. And